It is about the cross. It's about the cross. It's about realizing that Jesus Christ truly, absolutely has come into your life and He prepares you to go on. How many of y'all ready for a new year? How many of y'all realize this? Even if you're not ready for a new year, it's coming anyway. And so life is going to go on. And guess what? I want you to kind of pick up this rhythm. And Jesus is going to go on. And I want to just give you some heads up things as we transition this week. Hopefully this week, do some time to reflect, okay? I mean, you know, step back and say, okay, how many of y'all got some things in 09 you're glad to say, all right, that happened and I'm done with that. I'm done. We're not doing that again. How many of y'all got some things? We're not doing that again. I'm going to leave this in the past. I'm going to pick up my full and abundant life in the present. And I want to give you some great news for those of us who believe in Christ. We have our future secured in Jesus Christ. How many of y'all glad to know that your future is secured in Jesus Christ? Go with me to Philippians 3. We're going to draw some things out of there. All right. No matter how good you think you can get it going on, it'll never be as great as Christ Himself. No matter how many credentials you think you can stack up. One of the guys that I love reading is the Apostle Paul. And the reason I love reading the Apostle Paul is because we have a man who actually lives out what he believes. He's had an encounter with Jesus Christ, and it's such an encounter. He says, no matter what I did, there's no way it's as great as knowing Jesus. Now, a lot of us kind of got this Apostle Paul guy out like he was, you know, going down the Damascus Road and fell off his camel and got a call to preach. He was a very sophisticated person. He was well-studied, well-learned, been to all the fine universities, studied with the right people, moved in the right crowd. So what he gave up was this: his significance for God's glory. I want you to have a blessed new year, and I want to challenge you. Watch this. It's going to be a crazy move. It's a spiritual move, Nathan. When we step back, when we step out of what we think and step into what God thinks, that's when the real blessings come. But sometimes we want to hold on to what we think and tell God what He needs to do. How many of y'all have ever done that? I think it ought to be this way. Why? Feels right, and I want it this way, and it ought to be this way, and it's tough. Hey, it's tough, man, because you know what? God really doesn't care about what I think. Watch this. God is not going to change all of human history because of what I think. How many of y'all have come to that conclusion? God's not going to rewrite the script because I think differently. Or I feel differently. What God says is. Now, if you'll follow what God says, here's what happens. Your past is forgiven. How many of y'all are glad to know your past is forgiven? I want you to hear that one more time. Our past in Christ Jesus is absolutely, totally forgiven. That's the power of the cross. Forgiven. That means this, Leonard Bailey, I don't know about you, I can only know about me. If God pulls up my file, I want you to know I'm on the list. Peter, you on the list. Is everybody on the list in here? Bill, guess what happened to your list? It's been deleted. You see, we don't understand that. My list has been deleted by the blood of Jesus. How many of y'all understand? There's the power of the cross. What I used to be no longer has to hinder me. Now do y'all understand the power of forgiveness? And here's what we want to do as Christians. We want to walk around looking back where we used to be instead of living in Christ where we are. Does that make sense? That's going to be my encouragement to you. Two things today. Live in Christ. That's the first one, Salem. And then where you are, live in Christ. Live in Christ in 2:10. Quit worrying about 2:11. Quit worrying about 2:12. Quit worrying about what's going to happen 4 or 5 years from now. I don't know, and you don't know, and our government absolutely doesn't know. Nobody knows. Except who? Jesus. Same. We don't know when we're coming home from Afghanistan. But God does. We don't know when this will all be done. But who does? Jesus. Now here's what I want you to know. The guy that writes this passage grew up in a time that's just like our time. Little crazy. The Roman Empire's in control. Paul knew how to move with the upper echelons. He was an intellectual. So I don't want anybody ever in this congregation to tell me that God doesn't use intellectuals. One wrote one third of your Bible, the Apostle Paul. And he knew how to move. And he knew how to talk. But guess what? He knew that wasn't as great as Jesus. Can I break it down for you today? Here's what Paul knew. And this will keep your life in balance. What Paul knew would never be greater than who knew him. And who knew Paul? Jesus. So what Paul knew would never be greater than who knew him. Does that make sense? Now, some of you all know a lot. How many of y'all know a lot? How many of y'all know somebody that knows a lot? Good. All right. How many of y'all realize that knowing Jesus is greater than what you know? Now, let me show you why this is important. What you and I know is only for a moment. It's amazing. Most of what I learned in college, especially in science, has now been proved otherwise. And I'm not that old. Isn't that wild, Nathan? Most, now guess what? If you'd have rolled it back, early 80s, these same professors would have been red-faced telling you that this is absolutely so. Now, 30 years later, they're saying, well, it used to be so, but now it's this. Why? What we know is usually for a moment. Who knows us is for what? A lifetime. A forever time. So here's what Paul had come to discover. A man of great wisdom, a man of great honor, a man of great privilege. He had the right last name. He had the right resume. He had gone to the right schools. He had moved in the right circles. He would have been accepted by the folk. He would have been accepted. And he lets all that go to live in Jesus Christ. Now let's look what he says. Verse 7. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider lost for the sake of Christ. First thing, here's the way you profit. Let Jesus have your life. How many of y'all just need to let Jesus have your life? The greatest thing you can do today is just say, all right, Jesus, here it is. Take it. How many of y'all still trying to fix it? Come on, work with me now. Come on, y'all are young. Y'all are young. Y'all can't con me. Some of y'all are still trying to fix your life. How many of y'all are still doing the same thing that you've been doing for the past 3 years? It hadn't changed a bit, but you're convinced this year, if you do it one more year, it'll finally change. That's the definition of insanity. That's exactly right, Mr. Jones. Is to keep doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different what? Result. How many of y'all found out it won't fix it? Yeah. What's this? Every time I yell at Elizabeth, it's the same result. I get ignored. She doesn't pay attention to me. Nothing gets resolved anyway. It doesn't fix the problem. But you know what? In 2:10, I mean, I don't want to be prophetic, but there's a high risk I'll probably yell again. And guess what it will yield? Zero. Elizabeth is pointing her hand. Zero. So, you know, you gotta find some different ways. That's called insanity, to keep doing the same things that we've always done that don't correct the situation. Now, here's what Paul knew. What I know isn't as great as who knows me. Jesus what? Knows me. Paul came to that realization. He said, so whatever I profit, I consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law. Note this. What did Paul realize? Only Jesus can save us. You know why I am excited about the new year? Who's going to be in 2:10? Somebody tell me. Who's going to be in 2:10? Y'all are awful quiet today. Y'all hit that eggnog this week, didn't you? I knew it. I can tell y'all are like, okay, let's get her. Huh? I'm talking just straight up eggnog. I'm not talking you put anything in it. You know, you just had too much sugar, right? Who's going to be in 2010?
Jesus.
Now, let me ask you a question. If you are in Christ now, will you be in Christ then? Can anything separate you from the love of Christ? The Bible tells us that death cannot separate you from the love of what? Christ. So if Christ be in 2:10 as he is there great hope in 2:10? Absolutely. So the first thing I want you to do is you're going to have to say goodbye to 2:09. It is done. It is lost. I'm going to have to live in the present. That will be 2:10. 2:10. And there's some things that come in. We got to know that God is real. And the second thing, we got to have faith in him. Paul said, I have a faith not made on my own. Note this. I want to pound on this for just a second. I am being found righteous. Do you see what he says? A righteousness of what? Not of my own that comes from the law. Now check this out. In our world today, what's everybody trying to create? Their own righteousness. You hear it every day. Well, this works for me. So? Do you see how we are just consumed with ourselves? You know, you got a God, I got a God. As long as our gods kind of just cooperate together, then they're both true. Bull. That's a quick trip to hell. See, you and I are going to have to decide. You say, well, Paul doesn't understand the complexity of our society. Now, this is where you've just showed your ignorance. Paul is speaking into a society that this society would have fit with hand in glove. A society that believed in many gods, many ways, many approaches to heaven. A society that embraced our own experience over God's experience. It sounded like this. If it feels good, it must be right. Does that sound familiar? Oh, yeah. Somebody say, I've heard that before. And the reason, watch this, the reason you beautiful young people got bit by that snake, that started in the 60s. That's when it started. In the 60s, here's what we said. There is no absolute truth. There's not a truth. There's not a standard. There's not a pillar. If it feels right, it must be right. Now, I want you all to be intelligent. I think you need to be spiritually intelligent. If the whole world does what feels right to them, what ends up in the whole world? Well, let me show you how crazy this is. Did you all realize that Christmas, there was a person that tried to blow up a plane? Can you all imagine that this person had connections to radical Islam? Isn't it amazing? People that shoot people on an army basis are talking to these Al-Qaeda people, and people that are going to blow up planes are talking to these Al-Qaeda people. Why? It gets how our nation responds to it. Well, we don't need to be too hasty to see what's similar. Well, I wish that our Congress folks had watched Sesame Street. Do you remember when we were little kids at Sesame Street? They had four things up on the board. Y'all remember that? They had four things. And Bert or Ernie, one of them, sang the song. And it was, which one of these is not like the other? Now, I want to tell you something. I want you all to be awake for this. Here's what scares me. You know what? I was not surprised that somebody tried to blow up a plane at Christmas. In fact, I expected it. Because that would have been a great time, because what holiday are we celebrating on Christmas? And here's what I want you to know, just so you won't be stupid. Radical Islam does not like Christians. They have not liked Christians a lot longer than all of us have been alive, or we have been a nation. And they are still not going to like Christians, even after we hand them a lollipop and an Oprah video. I've actually been around them, not read about them. They don't like what? Christians. So do we cease to be Christians because somebody doesn't like us? Watch this. I want you to know that trying to ignite a bomb felt good to that individual. It wouldn't have felt good to 238 other passengers, though, if he'd have got it done. So there has to be a principle of truth. Paul came to this realization after watching a world where people had died. Paul even had to live within his past that his beliefs on his own righteousness had put people to death. And guess what he discovered? A Jesus that brought people to life. How many of y'all have a Jesus that brings you to life? That no matter what, you're going to live. That no matter what, you're going to get through it. That no matter what, it's going to happen. Amen?
Amen.
Watch this. If I'm on a plane and somebody blows it, here's the worst thing that's going to happen to me. I'm going to heaven. I'm really going to heaven. I'm not going to get 72 virgins. You know those guys, they get 72 virgins. And watch this. Here's the thing. Allah never told them how old they were. They may be 500-year-old virgins. Who knows? Won't come through with the promise. Watch this. You know why? Watch this. Look what drives us. Our own self-interest. If you notice, if you follow Jesus, it's not about your interest. It's about the kingdom's interest. That's what Paul does. He said, I've learned that what I profit doesn't last long. How many of y'all realize this? You won't be remembered as long as you think you will. It disappoints people. Here I'll show you. Who won the Super Bowl 2 years ago? We got Giants. Anybody else? Who won the Super Bowl 5 years ago? I can't believe y'all can't give me the answer. This is a day that you'll say, man, I don't need to go to church. The Super Bowl's on. We invest millions of dollars in this. People have wardrobe malfunctions during this whole event. Come on, tell me, why can't we remember this moment? 5 years ago, who won the Super Bowl? Watch this, I'm a football fan and I don't know. Who was it? Probably was Indianapolis. That feels right. What about 25 years ago? You don't know?
Probably the Cowboys.
Yeah, y'all are just going now. Who was the dynasty of that era? Huh? What about 200 years ago? They didn't have one, Jones. They weren't playing football 200 years ago. See what I'm saying? What we create and what we call fame and what we call really, really cool is only cool for a moment. What Paul realized, what I gain is not long. What Christ does is forever. I want you to get in that rhythm. It's about faith and belief. Faith and belief. I believe that Jesus has saved me. I believe that Jesus will carry me. That's what Paul's teaching. And look what he tells us. Don't hold on to what you have. Hold on to who has you. That I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in who? Christ. I mean, already have faith in Christ. Let me tell you some things that Jesus can really forgive you. How many of y'all believe that? I got faith that He is. I got faith that Jesus is going to be in 2:10. I got faith that it's going to be all right. How many of y'all really have this faith? Now, note, warning! Did I say it will feel good all the time? See, some of y'all come up to me and say, Pastor Steve, you told me if I followed Christ, I was going to have a full and abundant life, and you don't understand. I don't feel good. No, you don't understand. Part of a full and abundant life is there will be times you do not feel good. The problem is you and I have been conned by a media and by a philosophy that says anytime I have a bad feeling, I must be experiencing a bad life. That's not true. Jesus had a full and abundant forever life, and He had some moments that He wept. And He had some moments that He felt real bad. And He had some moments that He suffered. But the truth of God is that He overcame where He was. Now there's the power of the future. I don't have to stay where I am. How many of y'all glad to know you don't have to stay where you are? And you're going to get better no matter what. I mean, check this out. If you're in Jesus Christ, you are going to get better no matter what. Because guess what? When we finish 2010, we'll be a year closer to heaven. How many of y'all realize that as we finish this year, you're a year closer to heaven than you were? How come y'all are going like, ooh?
You ought to be going, yeah. Chase, can you believe you're married? Now that ought to be a good thing. Did you write that down on the good things that happened in 09? He better have, Lauren. He better have that on a good list. Nathan, can you believe that you're in the Speaker's Bureau now? I mean, I know you talk a lot, but I'm talking about there might be somebody actually pay you for talking.
I never dreamed I could get paid for doing what I do all the time.
Me either. It's amazing, though, isn't it? You're encouraging people. Nathan's got a ministry. Guess what it's entitled? Get up and walk.
That's right.
Don't you know that freaks people out? Yeah, get up and walk. You know why? Nathan's been walking. He's been walking. See, Nathan gets this right here. He's heard this sermon before. He's read this scripture before. He lives this. There's a lot of you in here that live this. It's not what we profit. It's what God will profit in us. Live it out no matter what's going on. Look what he says. You ready? I want to know Christ in the power of his resurrection. How many of y'all want to know Christ in the power of his resurrection? I don't want to just know about Jesus. I want to live in the power of what God can do. Now, let me tell you, that's where we fall short in the church. We'll testify to the things of God, but rarely will we live in them. See, Paul said, I'm going to live in the power of the resurrection. And that means to do that, guess what you're going to have to do occasionally? Join in the sufferings. Now that, watch this. Have you ever gone to a suffering conference? Cheryl, you've been to suffering conferences? You go to conferences, you've been to a suffering conference? I've never seen one. The only conferences I see are Bless Me conferences. You know? 10 ways to get God to activate in your life. Oh, that's dangerous. God's going to move when God wants to do. He doesn't move on what you do. He moves because he moves. Amen? Let's get it right. But Paul said, I'm willing to take on what Jesus took on. I'm willing to absorb what Jesus absorbed. Look what he says. I will join in Jesus' sufferings. Share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to obtain to the resurrection from the dead. He said, I'm willing to walk where Jesus walked. And here's the way, and I'm willing to walk in the way that Jesus walked. Because Jesus is what? In me, says the Apostle Paul. Now let's take it on. You ready? We're going to sum it up. How many of y'all ready to go into 2:10? Five of you. Come on, give me six. Who'll give me seven? Who'll give me eight? Let's go. Let's go. I mean, you got 2:10 coming. Now watch. Don't overhype it. Don't get, watch this. 2:10, you don't know if it's going to be the best year of your life. Here's what you know for sure. It's another year in your life. Here's what you know for sure. Jesus Christ is in that year, no matter what. You know the power of the resurrection is available in 2:10. These are things you know. About other than that, you don't know a whole lot about the year, right? You don't know what's coming, what's going. What's this? How many of you know you're going to be back here same time next year? None of us know that. But we know if we are, is Jesus going to be there? Good. Now you see why Jesus gets the glory. Paul realized it's not what I can do, but it's what Jesus will do in me. That I might attain to the power of what? God's resurrection power. Now let me tell you some things we're going to do as a church. Have y'all heard this number? 85,000. Anybody here heard this number? Well, you're going to get sick and tired of hearing this number. You will not like this number by the end of the year. And hopefully the number will change by the end of the year. Watch this. I'm just going to lay out the dream. I'm going to shoot it to you straight. I want to see if you want to get involved in it. You know what I really think ought to be happening in this church? I mean, I'm giving you just straight up. I think every one of you who claim Christ ought to lead somebody to the Lord every year. How many baptisms a year do you think that is, Nathan? We do that. If we actually did that, I mean, girls, don't look at me like that. I mean, I really expect that out of y'all. Jesus is in you. And you say, well, how do we do it, Pastor Steve? You just go real cute and say, hey, y'all shouldn't go to hell. Jesus loves you. They'll get it from you. Amen?
Watch this. By the end of this decade, if a guy was to grant favor in that, by the end of this decade, okay, by 2020, everybody in Warren County would have a relationship with Jesus Christ if we took that serious. He said, Pastor Steve, where are you going to put them all? None of my business. I figure God will figure that out. I mean, I really do lead like that. People have always asked me, when our church started growing, they said, you know, you don't have enough room. I said, I don't know that I have enough room. I don't know what room we need. But I said, God figures that out along the way. True? Now, how many of y'all have noticed this? We have built a couple of extra rooms on the side of the church. How many of y'all have noticed that in 209? All right, I got some good news. We're going to open that sucker up in 210. Aren't y'all glad? Now, hallelujah. Hey, now I'm clapping with you. I'm clapping with you. Clapping with you. Y'all know me. I'm straight up about this stuff. The bank will not take praise. You can't go down to the bank and say hallelujah. Guess what they want? Bankers. They do that to y'all too. Like at the end of the month, we got a mortgage at our house. How many of y'all got a mortgage at your house? Anybody got a mortgage yet? Now, I have to pay mine. I know there's exemptions in the country, but I have to pay mine. I'm one of the people that has to pay a mortgage. I went and got this thing, and every month, I tried one time, Pastor Keith, I just wrote down there, God loves you, God bless you, may you be blessed. They sent back increase in payment, okay? It was okay. We are going to have to pay for it. Y'all with me on that? Now watch this. I believe the thing could be paid off this year. You know how we do that? A little bit at a time. Everybody give what they can give, what God grants them with, and guess what's going to happen? It's going to be done. You don't hear about money in this church. You know why? Guess why? Because you're all faithful and get it done. I'm not talking about money. Just be faithful and we'll get it done. But man, I'd like to see it paid off this year. Why? You know why I'd like to see it paid off? Take a guess. Nobody thinks it can be. See, people in the community going, well, now they ain't never going to pay it off. We ain't going to pay it off. I tell you what, that'll never be paid off. It'll be a few years because that's just the way it works. Now, I want people to start seeing how God works. I know how we work. I know how you work. I know how I work. I know how Elizabeth works. I want to see how God works. He says, join with me. And there may be some tough moments when you join with me. But guess what? You'll know the power of the resurrection. Paul said, I want to see it. I want to be a part of it. And he was. So we're going to get that thing paid off, and I want you to dream with me. How many of y'all want to have faith and belief? I hope you get behind this. We got two-year-olds right now running through the congregation. Have y'all seen them before? They got little Dutch bowl haircuts. The guys on them look like and they walk around. They're two-year-olds. And they look at you and go, mine! And they come out with pieces of construction paper and clay, and they've been working hard in shop over there in Bible study, and they come out. And they're about, 2 feet 11. But we're going to stick them over there. They're going to be about 2 feet 11, and we're going to stick them right in that building over there, Bill. And they're going to be about 2 years old. Now, guess what? 16 years later, they will not look like that. 16 years later, y'all will see them coming up the ramp. They'll have hair spiked up in different directions. It'll be highlighted. Some of it'll be in a mohawk. Some of it'll be on the side. Some of it'll be real long. Some of it'll be twisted around. Some of it, hey, mullets could be back in 16 years. And if I still have hair 16 years from now, I'm growing a mullet in honor of all those 1980 mullets. If I can still grow one, I'm growing one. Saying I might not be able to grow one 16 years from now. May not have any hair, Nathan. Do you know what? 16 years from now, for just a second, let's take the first generation through. That'll be our two-year-olds now. 16 years from now, where do you think you'll be like? Andrew, you'd be married, most likely. Faith in God. Yeah. You probably have a couple kids. Elizabeth, we'll probably have 10, 15 grandkids. Blake's shaking his head, not back there. Yeah, who knows? 16 years from now. Here's what I know. Here's what I hope. 16 years from now, I hope at 16 years from now, somebody is preaching and they're preaching that Jesus Christ is going to be in that next year. And that all things are possible through Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ will never be defeated. Y'all understand what's got a hold of us. The power of the resurrection, let it come forth. God loves y'all that much and loves us that much. We're going to get these things done. Is that cool? Now, parents, thank y'all for having babies. Now we got to raise them in the ways of the Lord. Amen? All right? I mean, they're a lot of fun. These children are a lot of fun to, like, you know, connect. Now, ladies, it's probably not as fun for that 9 months after. And when they get out of there, the work begins. Amen? Amen. And let me help you. They don't ever leave. They come back.
Yep.
And you got to work with them, and you got to pray for them, and you want the best for them no matter what. Amen? My mom still prays for me every day. She's praying right now. She's teaching and praying at the same time. I guarantee you my mother right now is saying, "Dear God, please don't let him say anything that you don't want him to. Because you know, Lord, he will. Don't let him embarrass you, God, himself or me." She's prayed that prayer more than once. Now let's let God have his way. I pray the power of the resurrection take this church to new limits. And I pray they're his limits. Because God's limits are no limits at all. He's unlimited. Pretty cool, isn't it? Know what surpasses you, and that is Christ. Well, I hope some of you meet Jesus today. That'd be an incredibly cool way. Can I tell you one last story? Y'all got time for one last story?
Sure.
I mean, I got time for one last story.
Always.
This guy believes this stuff. You know who wrote this guy, Paul? He was preaching at a place called Lystra. I just hope y'all don't do this to me. I wouldn't feel good if y'all did this to me. After he finished his sermon, you know what they did? They took him outside the parking lot and they threw rocks at him. Stoned the sucker. I'm going to tell you what. If I finished preaching, y'all took me out there and threw rocks at me, I'd just tell y'all to go to hell. I'm telling y'all right now. That's what I'd do. I'd say, "Lord, they won't listen. They're irrepentant. Just let them all go to hell. I'm out of here. Send me to Franklin." Bunch of Warren County reprobates is what I'd say. I'm just telling you what I do, because I'm kind of a sissy. But Paul, they beat the tar out of this poor boy. His nose is hanging on the side. His eyes are all busted up. His ears are, you know, slanted. Hair all disheveled. His robe is ripped and torn. He's bleeding. He's bruised. Guess what he does after they try to kill him? Goes back. Because, you see, he believed what was in him was greater than what was trying to kill him. And he walked right up in the middle of the city. Here, can y'all see him coming? Here he comes, beat half to death. Walks himself back up on the podium and says, "Once again, let me tell you, Jesus died on a cross, has risen from a grave. Whosoever believes in him shall not perish." Because he knew what was in him was greater than what was accusing him. Now, today there's going to be some people get saved. Y'all okay with that? Y'all okay with some people get saved? Today some of you need to come and you need to get this baptism thing taken care of. I mean, if you're going to be marked with Christ, let's be marked Christ. Say, "Pastor Steve, will radical Islamic terrorists like me?" No. In fact, they will hate you. Jesus told you this. Why do you look so surprised? "Pastor Steve, I can't believe you're picking on the Muslims." I'm not picking on them. Who else tried to blow up a plane this week? I didn't see the Presbyterians blowing up a plane. I didn't see the Baptists blowing up a plane. And I'm going to tell you what, if Christians were blowing up a plane right now, I would be off my rocker talking down any person who in the name of Jesus tried to kill another human being for their faith. I would be on them. I wouldn't quit. I ain't heard my fellow Muslim teacher speak up yet. I ain't heard one speak up yet and say, "This violates our text." You know why they don't speak up? Because it doesn't violate their text. Daggum right I did. There's one way. It's bloody. It's a cross. It's all of our past dislocated from our present, thank God. And it's risen. On the third day, Jesus rose from the grave and He's real. And then He delivered this message. Whosoever believes, that's any of us in this room, who repents of their sin and receives Jesus as their Lord, shall not what? But live forever. That's the best news I know. That's the best news I know. Surpasses all other news. That make sense? Now, I think God was in business on Christmas, don't you? Dude burned his leg and didn't blow up a plane. Good. Glad somebody thumped his head on the plane, too. Try to land that plane in Nashville, Texas. That'd be real bad. I'm glad it will be. Still some people with some common sense. Some people care about lives. You know what Jesus Christ cares about? You living. He cared about us living so bad that He died so we could live. And you know what? And the Apostle Paul really understood Jesus, not because he went to preacher school, but because he began to live in such a way that his living, and in his living, he cared more about us living and knowing Jesus than he did his own stuff. And man, can you imagine having a church full of people really like that? Wow. You're talking about really changing the world. There's the key. And I hope we'll begin to open it. Amen. We're going to come to the altar. And listen, I don't want you all to run out of here just yet. I want you to reflect for a minute. And really prepare for God to take you somewhere in 2:10. Amen. I'm glad that you're here. You're here for a reason. God's going to use every one of you in a big way. So get ready for it. It's going to be huge. Also, I need to warn you. Next Sunday is January. Do you all understand that? For those of you who've been around Hillview Heights in January, we're not normal. We're not normal any of the time, but the first of the month, we're really not normal. So when you invite your friends to church in January, go ahead and tell them a little bit, hey, this may be a little bit different, okay? We have hired the Church Extreme Makeover team to be with us. And they'll be arriving Sunday to help us enter into the new building. Ty will be here and other assorted guests. And so be prepared to welcome them. And there are some surprises. There are some things that should never be shown in public that will be seen in public next week. So please, there are pastors that are dressed up like they should have never, ever been dressed up. But don't miss that. You need to see it. It'll be a lot of fun, but it'll be a time where we realize, man, God has really prepared a big year. Now, here's what I want you to know. The year has already been prepared. So I want you to step into a new year a little bit different understanding. It's not what am I going to create in this year, but God, what am I willing to participate in this new year that you've already created? See, I want to go with God instead of showing God what I can do. I want to be with God in what He can do in our lives and see what happens. Amen. If you need to come for baptism today, man, we're open to that. We want to get your name in, get that ready to go. January is a great month to be baptized in. I don't know a bad month to be baptized in, but January is also a great one. If you've never received Jesus into your life, why would you leave this place going away from God today? Have you heard the truth today? Have you heard something that can get you into the new year? Is there a God that will stay with you no matter what? Well, let's live in that God. Amen. All right, stand with me. Y'all been beautiful. Listen carefully. God's changing some folks right now as we speak. Lord Jesus, we ask right now that you would just lift up people. All right, listen. Somebody, it may be your neighbor, it may be you. If you've never asked Christ in your life, just tell Him, Lord Jesus, come into my what? Life. Lord, I know I've messed up. I know I hadn't done everything right. But Jesus, I ask you right now to forgive me. Guess what God will do? He'll forgive you right now. Ask Him, Jesus, forgive me. I believe you died on the cross. I believe you've risen from the grave. I believe you're real, however you talk to him. You say, well, Pastor, I don't know if I can say all that. This prayer will work. Jesus, help me. He'll take it from there. I trust him that much. Let Jesus speak to you. You got it? You got it? Clint, good to have you here at this altar today. Amen. God works, don't he? Amen. Guys, aren't you glad to be here? How many of y'all glad today? Pastors, how many of y'all glad that we don't have to go to hell if it's our last day? I'm glad about that. If this is my last day to take a breath, I end up in heaven because of the grace of God. Jamie will be preaching next week in a pair of skinny jeans. And the miracle will be not that he's preaching, it'll be that he's in those skinny jeans. You ready? In the name of Jesus, this altar is for you. If you've received him and you love him, if you need to talk about baptism, please do not put these things off. You can tell there is an intensity in my voice. We're blowing up planes. And it's the first time it's happened. My Jewish friends got through that every day. Every day. Every day. But there's crazy things going on. And I just think it's time the Christian church, those who follow Jesus, we rise up in the power of God and say, wait a minute. There is the God that changes everything. We need a church like that in America. So why not just be that church? And we're going to be that church by praying and loving and giving and being faithful and just doing what God's called us to do. Amen. All right, church, the altar's open. Some of you have received Jesus. He's spoken to you today. Would you come share that with us? We want to celebrate that with you. Some of you coming to be baptized today, come and let us know so we can schedule that time and be with you. Some of you just need to come and pray and let God heal you today. Whatever it is, let God speak to you today, all right? In the name of Jesus, come on. Come on, praise God, man. All these beautiful people, come on up here and let God touch you. Come on.